Welcome to the debate. Today we are examining a fascinating new theoretical framework called viability geometry. It proposes that all complex adaptive systems, so whether we're talking about human physiology, coral reefs, or global financial networks, that they all share this universal underlying architecture of persistence.
Right. And usually when we talk about diagnosing a problem in any field, there's this expectation of precision. Like if you break your arm, an x-ray shows that jagged white line, the doctor points to it and says, well, there it is.
Exactly. It's binary, broken or not broken.
Yeah, and it's comforting, you know? We like things to be visible, to be easily measured and categorized.
But when you step into the world of complex adaptive systems, that x-ray machine is essentially useless. We are looking at a diagnostic landscape that is incredibly murky.
Because in these complex systems, collapse often happens suddenly, right? After incredibly long periods of apparent stability. And it doesn't necessarily happen because of some unprecedented, massive external disturbance.
No, not at all.
It happens because of unseen structural deterioration that our traditional metrics just, well, they just miss it completely.
Spot on. And that brings us to the central question before us today. Is systemic collapse governed by a universal, mathematically rigorous relational grammar, specifically this seven-rolled geometric model? Or does forcing biological, ecological, and civilizational systems into a single symmetrical equation obscure the critical qualitative differences in how these fundamentally different systems function and fail?
Right. That is the core of it.
I approach this from the perspective that the viability geometry framework reveals a profound, unified mathematical truth about survival. I will be arguing that maintaining structural margins and optionality universally dictates whether a system persists or collapses, literally regardless of the domain.
And I come at it from a slightly different angle. While I firmly believe the concepts of margins and optionality offer brilliant conceptual metaphors for understanding systemic fragility, I contend that applying a rigid, symmetrical, combinatorial structure across fundamentally different ontological scales is, well, it's overly reductionist. I'll be arguing that treating a coral reef and a global economy as identical geometric phenomena risks a really dangerous kind of false precision.
Okay, so to really lay the groundwork for why this geometry is so necessary, we have to look at how we currently monitor complex systems. Across almost all disciplines, we rely on individual state variables.
Sure, like in a hospital ICU, we monitor blood pressure and oxygen saturation.
Right. In ecology, we measure population sizes or biomass. In economics, we obsess over GDP and inflation rates. But the source material makes a deeply compelling case that these variable-based approaches frequently and catastrophically fail to predict sudden collapses.
Well, yeah, because they only tell you where the system is, not how close it is to the edge of the cliff. I mean, two patients can have the exact same heart rate and blood pressure, but one is about to crash into cardiac arrest, and the other is perfectly fine.
Precisely. And the framework asks, why? The answer it provides is that survival under disturbance isn't about a single variable at all. It requires exactly seven informational roles, interacting perfectly.
And those are constraints, margins, system state.
Yeah, system state, disturbances, perception, regulation, and optionality. This is the core thesis we are debating today. The claim is that these seven roles form a minimal, perfectly balanced relational architecture.
The Fano plane.
Exactly. In discrete mathematics, this corresponds exactly to the Fano plane, or the Steiner triple system. My position is that this is not just a neat organizational metaphor. It is a geometric reality. Systems collapse when their viability manifold, like the mathematical safe zone where they can survive, narrows.
Right.
And it only narrows in two ways. Through margin erosion, meaning they lose their safety buffers, or optionality collapse, meaning they lose alternative pathways to adapt.
I will certainly acknowledge that this framework masterfully diagnoses why systems fail. It is particularly illuminating when it details the optimization paradox, which is the phenomenon where maximizing short-term efficiency inherently destroys the redundancy that systems need to survive.
We see that everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah. From supply chains to monoculture farming. However, mapping these dynamics onto a rigid combinatorial geometry across wildly different domains is, that's where I step off the train. It ignores qualitative reality.
How so?
Because the mathematical symmetry of the Fano plane demands that regulation and perception function equivalently across all scales. But ecological feedback in a coral reef operates fundamentally differently than regulation in human civilization.
Well, they're different mechanisms, sure.
They are completely different realities. Human civilization involves geopolitics, central banks, intentionality, and structural violence. I maintain that abstracting all of that human agency into a simple geometric vector glosses over the actual mechanics of how our societies operate.
Okay, I see why you think that. But let me give you a different perspective using the specific case studies from the material, because I think they perfectly illustrate this structural universality. Let's walk through them, starting with septic shock in a human patient.
Okay, go ahead.
During sepsis, a patient's vital signs, their state variables, often remain totally stable because the body is heavily regulating itself. But beneath the surface, their physiological reserves are being entirely consumed by the immune response. That is the mechanical definition of margin erosion.
Right. The distance to the constraint boundary is shrinking to zero, even while the system state appears fine. I agree with that mechanism. That is a purely physiological process.
Right. But now let's apply the exact same lens to a coral reef. A marine heat wave hits. If the reef has high biodiversity, it has functional redundancy. Meaning, if one specific species of herbivorous fish dies off because of the temperature change, another species steps in to eat the algae and keep the coral clean.
Functional redundancy, yeah.
But as that biodiversity drops over time, those alternative ecological pathways just vanish. That is pure optionality collapse. The ecosystem might look perfectly stable on Tuesday, but its capacity to handle a shock on Wednesday is totally gone.
Again, a brilliant diagnosis of ecological fragility.
So finally, let's look at the 2008 global financial crisis. We saw highly leveraged spans operating with razor-thin capital reserves, which is textbook margin erosion.
Sure.
At the exact same time, the entire global financial system was relying on the exact same concentrated risk models for mortgage-backed securities. If those models failed, there was no backup plan, no alternative financial pathway. That is optionality collapse. Both happened simultaneously. The geometry flawlessly maps all three collapses, the patient, the reef, and the global economy, using the exact same relational grammar.
I'm sorry, but I just don't buy that. Let me tell you why. You are pointing to the outcome leg, the ultimate collapse, and working backward to validate the geometry.
I don't think that's fair.
But it is. To really test this, we have to look closely at the nature of the disturbances, which is one of the seven required informational rules you just listed. Think about the mechanics of those disturbances. In the ecological example, the disturbance is a marine heat wave. It is an external exogenous shock imposed by the environment onto the system. The reef doesn't choose the heat wave.
True. It's an environmental constraint shifting.
Exactly. But now look at the 2008 financial crisis. The disturbance wasn't a weather event. The disturbance was highly leveraged toxic mortgage-backed securities. Those are created by the very institutions that are supposedly playing the role of regulation in the system.
Well, they were failing at regulation.
They were actively generating the disturbance. The disturbance and the regulation are completely entangled through human intention. Geometric trajectories treat these fundamentally different forces as identical vectors in a state space.
Because structurally they are.
No. When you say the financial system simply moved through the state space toward a constraint boundary, you are abstracting away the fact that human beings actively lobby to dismantle the regulatory constraints. A biological pathogen doesn't lobby the host to lower its immune constraints. The qualitative difference in how the disturbance is generated matters immensely.
I'm not convinced by that line of reasoning because the intentionality simply does not change the geometric reality of the collapse. This brings us precisely to the optimization paradox, which I think proves the math holds regardless of human intent.
Walk me through how the math stays the same regardless of intent.
Okay. The paradox states that systems naturally evolve toward configurations that maximize short-term efficiency under stable conditions. Whether that happens blindly or intentionally doesn't alter the math at all. Think about the tangent cone of viable futures.
The locking doors metaphor.
Yes. Imagine the system is a person standing in a large room with 100 different doors. Those doors represent optionality, viable future states. As an ecosystem naturally converges on highly specialized species to perfectly exploit a stable nutrient stream, doors start locking.
Right.
As a major bank deliberately eliminates its liquidity buffers to maximize its return on equity for shareholders, doors start locking. The intent behind the optimization is totally irrelevant to the geometry of the room. The structural result is identical. The tangent cone of viable futures shrinks.
I see what you're saying, but...
When you are down to one unlocked door, the system is maximally fragile. The math doesn't care if the optionality was destroyed by an exogenous climate event or by an endogenous algorithmic trading model converging on a single strategy. Once the tangent cone narrows to a point, any perturbation pushes the system state across the constraint boundary. The collapse is mathematically identical.
I agree, the optimization paradox is real. And the room with locking doors is a fantastic way to visualize how short-term efficiency breeds long-term fragility. But I have to challenge the text's proposed solution for measuring this mathematically, the viability functional.
The unified measure of coherence.
Right. The source claims we can measure early warning signals via relational indicators rather than state variables. It suggests we can effectively aggregate the systemic coherence of these seven roles into a single calculable functional. I have to ask, how do you actually calculate a unified viability functional in a civilizational or geopolitical conflict?
You evaluate the coherence of the triads. Are the margins adequate for the perceived disturbances?
But how do you quantify that when the roles themselves are fluid? The text suggests that at a planetary scale, the life ground, basic biological and ecological needs, forms the constraint boundaries. I accept that. But in a geopolitical system, what constitutes a margin or a disturbance is highly subjective.
It depends on the perspective? Sure.
It's by a neighboring nation. If the roles of margin, perception, and disturbance are entirely subjective and culturally constructed depending on where you stand in the system, you cannot mathematically aggregate them into a single, coherent viability functional. The geometry breaks down when the roles are subjective.
That subjectivity argument assumes the framework requires absolute, objective human agreement on what a margin is, but it doesn't. It requires structural coherence. Let's really look at the strict combinatorial math that the framework introduces, because it addresses exactly how these roles interact to maintain coherence.
Okay, let's look at the math.
The seven roles perfectly partition into three ontological categories. World-facing roles, which are constraints and disturbances. System-facing roles, which are state, margins, and optionality. And mediating roles of agency, which are perception and regulation.
So it categorizes how the system interfaces with reality.
Right, but it isn't just a neat list. These seven roles form exactly seven canonical triads. For instance, constraints, margins, and state form the positional geometry like where you are relative to the edge. State, disturbance, and regulation form the response, how you react to a push.
Okay.
The math here is incredibly profound. To visualize the Fano plane, imagine a triangle with a circle drawn perfectly inside it, touching the edges, and lines intersecting through the middle. In this geometry, there are exactly 7 points and 7 lines. Every line contains exactly 3 points, and every point is on exactly 3 lines.
The ultimate balanced network.
Exactly. It corresponds to the Steiner triple system. And the text points out that if you remove a role or add an eighth role, the symmetry breaks. Think of it like a perfectly engineered suspension bridge. If you remove the tension cable, representing optionality, the bridge doesn't just sag a little bit.
It feels.
The physical geometry dictates that it must instantly collapse because the relational load can no longer be distributed. This means each role participates in exactly 3 triads, and every pair of roles appears together exactly once. This is the absolute minimal architecture of survival. It hints at much deeper connections to exceptional algebra, like the Octonians. That mathematical rigidity isn't a flaw. It's the very reason it applies universally, from cells to societies.
That's a compelling argument, but have you considered the profound danger of confusing an elegant combinatorial skeleton with empirical physical law? The Fano plane is a beautiful piece of discrete mathematics. It is a wonderful way to organize our thoughts about resilience. But the text itself cautions against claiming social systems strictly obey Octonian algebra. Let's go back to your ontological partition, world, system, and agency. Let's look at human civilization navigating the life ground, as the text calls it.
The planetary boundaries?
Yes, the planetary constraints are very real. Carbon parts per million in the atmosphere, ocean acidification, biodiversity loss. But the agency regulating human civilization involves something the source material explicitly acknowledges, structural violence.
Right, unequal distribution.
It involves economic systems that systemically concentrate wealth and optionality for a few, while intentionally degrading the ecological and financial margins of the many. You cannot plot structural violence on a mathematically continuous manifold. The Fano plane dictates that perception and regulation are perfectly symmetric with constraints and margins.
In an ideal state, yes.
But in human systems, perception is often deliberately distorted by massive misinformation campaigns. Regulation is frequently captured by the very corporate entities creating the disturbances. The geometric model assumes a functional coherence that human societies rarely, if ever, possess.
But don't you see? That is exactly what the geometry illuminates. When perception is distorted or regulation is captured, the triadic relation breaks down. Let's look at the specific triad governing early warning: margins, disturbance, and perception.
Okay.
If perception is blinded by misinformation, as you say, the system literally cannot see that its margins are eroding in the face of a disturbance. The geometry doesn't assume the system is functioning perfectly. The geometry maps exactly how it fails.
It provides a vocabulary for the failure.
More than a vocabulary, it provides the measurable trajectory. The loss of relational coherence is the collapse. When you look at ecological collapse, hysteresis occurs. The system gets locked into an alternative state, like a vibrant coral reef becoming permanently dominated by algae.
Sure.
In the geometry, the system has moved into a region of the state space where the original viable trajectories no longer exist. The doors have locked behind it. The exact same thing happens in societies. If structural violence depletes the financial and social margins of the working class and optionality is concentrated entirely at the top, the viability functional of the entire society declines. The geometry doesn't ignore structural violence. It visualizes it perfectly as a trajectory toward the constraint boundaries.
I come at it from a different way. Visualizing structural violence as a trajectory toward a constraint boundary is an incredibly powerful metaphor, but it is still fundamentally a metaphor. Let me explain the difference. When you map physiological margins like metabolic reserves or blood volume, you are measuring a physical, bounded quantity.
Right.
You can quantify exactly how much fluid resuscitation a patient in septic shock needs to restore their margin. But when you try to measure civilizational optionality, you are dealing with cultural knowledge, institutional trust, and historical memory. These are qualitative complexities.
But they still function as alternative pathways for the system to survive.
They do, but they don't behave like geometric vectors. The framework claims that collapse occurs when the margin approaches zero, and the cone of viable future directions collapses. In a mathematical state space, a tangent cone is rigorous. It has a defined volume. But in human history, optionality is created by imagination, by technological breakthroughs, by paradigm shifts that redefine the constraints themselves.
That doesn't erase the constraints, though.
But a biological organism cannot redefine its constraints. A human cell will always need oxygen, but human civilizations routinely invent new technologies that entirely rewrite their resource constraints. The state space itself is mutable. You can't mathematically map a room where the walls can be imagined out of existence.
It is mutable, but it is absolutely not infinite, and that is the crucial point of anchoring this to the life ground. Technological innovation might expand a constraint boundary in one dimension, say, inventing internal combustion to vastly increase energy production, but it simultaneously creates new, massive disturbances in another dimension, like atmospheric carbon.
Of course.
The framework perfectly accommodates this. The system's state vector simply moves to a different part of the manifold. And what the optimization paradox proves is that even with boundless human imagination, if we optimize our networks purely for efficiency, like building a global supply chain heavily concentrated around just two or three shipping hubs, we are objectively destroying our optionality.
We are definitely destroying our resilience, I'll grant you that.
Exactly. The geometry warns us that no amount of human imagination can save a system that has fundamentally exhausted its buffers and eliminated its alternative pathways. The mathematical invariance holds across all scales. If your margins are gone and your optional paths are gone, any disturbance will push you over the edge. It doesn't matter if you are a cell, a reef, or a global empire.
Look, I don't disagree for a moment that stripping buffers and eliminating alternative pathways is disastrous. My pushback remains on the assertion that this is a unified mathematical truth governed strictly by the Steiner triple system.
The math is right there in the text.
The text proposes that the Fano plane's appearance means the architecture of persistence occupies a highly constrained region of mathematical structure, potentially linking to the Freudenthal triple system or exceptional Lie groups. That is intellectually intoxicating for systems theorists.
It is.
But we have to be extremely careful about importing discrete combinatorics into the messy, qualitative realities of social science and ecology. When we do that, we risk designing governance structures that manage the abstract indicators of relational coherence while entirely ignoring the lived, qualitative realities of the people inside those systems.
Well, to summarize my position, the viability geometry framework successfully shifts the focus of complex systems analysis away from superficial state variables, which, as we discussed, often deceive us with a false sense of stability, to the true structural drivers of persistence.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we are looking at a human body fighting an infection or a global civilization trying to survive within planetary boundaries, the blueprint for survival is definitive. We must maintain relational coherence, we must aggressively protect our margins, and we must rigorously preserve our optionality. The triadic structure of the Fano plane isn't just a metaphor. It represents the minimal, non-negotiable informational architecture that allows any system to navigate a world of constant disturbance without crossing the boundaries of collapse.
And to summarize my view, I believe this framework offers a profound and urgently necessary conceptual lens. The diagnosis of how hyper-optimization breeds systemic fragility is vital, and forcing ourselves to think in terms of margins and optionality rather than just short-term output is incredibly useful.
We definitely agree on that.
But we must remain intellectually cautious. Treating elegant geometric and combinatorial symmetries as absolute universal laws across fundamentally different ontological scales can obscure the unique qualitative complexities of each domain. A mathematical framework that treats coral reef biodiversity and human civilizational governance as equivalent vectors risks creating a false sense of precision, potentially blinding us to the deeply human elements of agency, culture, and structural inequality that actually drive social systems.
We started this conversation talking about the comfort of an X-ray, that clean binary line showing a broken bone, letting you know exactly what went wrong. Viability geometry tells us that in complex systems, the break doesn't happen when the bone finally snaps. The break happens silently over years as the bone loses its density.
Exactly.
It happens as the margins erode and the optionality vanishes long before the final disturbance ever arrives. It provides a powerful new tool to assess the true resilience of the systems in our own lives, urging us to look past the surface variables. Whether you view that tool as a literal mathematical law of the universe or as a brilliant conceptual metaphor, well, we leave that for you to decide.